Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 4th on the West Coast, now March the 5th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome those listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network and those listening on BlogTalkRadio.com. So much news to report that I wouldn't know where to begin. And basically, that's because what the mainstream is reporting is nothing but a bunch of spin. Now the big news is how Tiger Woods is going to be golfing. He's coming out of the closet, going to start up again, and that's just the Paris Hilton, Michael Jackson story of the day. So we can tell that things along that line have not changed. Now, the economy. I heard something today that the economy this past month, the month of February, has been the best it's been in 2 years. What are these people smoking? What are they drinking? It's beyond me. The world is falling apart, and they're saying that Wall Street's on a rally right now because the economy was so great in the shortened month of February, mind you. All right, well, we're going to talk about those things and others with tonight's guest. We haven't planned anything. We never do, and yet we always seem to be able to focus in on an important topic or two. If not more. He is a talk show host in his own right. He hosts a show on Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com, which is called A Marine's Disquisition. And it's heard 6 days a week now around the world at various times. And I am a frequent guest on that show right now on Mondays. Dr. A. True Watts on the show, Dr. Wayne Pickering, Bob Chapman, Colorado Al, and many, many others, depending on what the topic is. And we brought that host and that researcher and the web host of the website, amd.elequity, Mr. Drew Malone Reigns III. Drew, welcome to the show.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, anywhere around the world. This is the Don Nikoloff Show.
No, this is...
And I appreciate the intro. I'm very kind to you. Don't ever forget Dr. Joe Hart. Dr. Joe Hart is a guest that comes to my show as the holder of the only patent for the cure for cancer.
So, oh, yes, yes. He's, that's the colonel, right?
That's the colonel. Colonel Joe Hart, right.
And
I said doctor. He's a colonel, Joe Hart. He's not a doctor. Mm-hmm. But he's proven that he has the actual remedy for cancer in your pets and in your body. He has literally brought people off the hospital bed, and they've lived 10 more years. I know of one person who is still alive that was on a hospital bed and took the advice of Colonel Joe Hart. So I actually want to call him a doctor every time I think about it, because he told us what we needed to do. I gave the information to a former United States Marine who is now 75 years old. His wife is 67 years old, alive, and it's been 10 years. At the 1st of April. And I was going to say, wait a minute here. We got a short month here. Is it already April the 1st? They shortened the month of March?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, as you so quietly brought forth, we never have a set reason. I come to your show and let God kind of lead me out there and Marianne Ponder's got her little ice pick poking me in the right side. I always get a little nudge. She said, you want to talk about this? So we do this. We don't ever plan a show.
No, that's true. And if anything, if I'm on your show and we're talking about my research or whatever, sometimes we have to sort things out a little bit, but we don't really plan anything we're going to say. It just comes out. And like you said, the Holy Spirit takes over.
Amen. And that's what it's like, because we have so many listeners, Don, that it's hard. I mean, we've got listeners that are listening to our voices whose primary language is Russian, whose primary language is French, whose primary language is German, whose primary language is English, but their English ain't nothing like our English.
Well,
and we've got people that their primary language is Portuguese and Spanish. So we're pretty much a bunch of mutts, aren't we?
Yeah, and speaking of English, you know, I'm getting better English from these Nigerian scam emails than I am from people that should know how to speak the language.
Where do you get some of these store-bought, store-educated teenagers that are in the educational system in the United States today? I just got off a show here about an hour. It's been an hour and 10 minutes ago that I did in Sochi, Russia, with Matthew, and he's got three kids. I think the oldest is 15 or 14, and his youngest is like 9, and his wife's 47. He's been retired from the Corps for over 20 years. And he loves living in Sochi, Russia. He homeschools his three kids. Now, here is a high school. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a first sergeant, United States Marine Corps. I think he made sergeant major. I'll have to ask him again. I think he made sergeant major, or he turned down sergeant major so he could retire at 19-6. I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is he's got a nice hefty paycheck, over $2,500 a month. He lives in Sochi, Russia, like a king. He has a little radio station, and I say Sochi. He really lives on a farm that they put together. That was his wife's father's place, and he lives as he says pretty darn good. And he homeschools the kids. He has to send them to the Ukrainian public school once a semester for them to take their final exams and tests, and they go to school for 1 week and socialize with the kids their own age for
mm-hmm.
1 week. Now, most of these kids are the kids of the farmers in and around where they live. And what's unique about this, he's got three kids, and they write better English than he does. They speak at least two languages,
uh-huh.
And he has a tough time with Russian, but he speaks better Russian than I do or anybody here. And what's unique is his wife, she speaks six languages, and she cusses him out in six different languages. He doesn't know if when she's mad or not.
Yeah, especially when you get cussed out in French, it sounds.
he said he got cussed out one day in French, and he thought she was telling me that she loved him, and it just melted him away, and he went over and snuggled after he got her mad, and he didn't know she was mad at him for she didn't tell him for 3 or 4 hours.
Well, at that point, all she could do is laugh, I'm sure.
I laugh every time I hear that story. And they make a great team. She runs the radio station in the late night hours, and she hits the hay right after she does my show, plus 1 hour. She does another show right after my show, And then she hits the hay, and it's about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning her time. And she sleeps till about, oh, somewhere around 11,
mm-hmm.
almost noontime. And the uniqueness of this couple is that they run this radio station, and they're the local community gathering, basically.
Yeah.
And but I wanted to. That's enough about the people that support Wind Talkers Radio Network. Matthew and Doug. And Jim are the players behind the scenes. They're in 3 different countries. Obviously, Matthew is in the Ukraine. Doug is in Ireland. And Jim is in New Zealand. And Megan is in Brisbane. And these 4 people are the people that are responsible for yours truly getting together and taking an idea 5 years ago and... they expounded on it while I was running around doing radio shows with American Voice Radio. And they took my idea of putting together Wind Talkers Radio Network and started bringing in former Marines that were retiring and moving back to places where they had been stationed or places that they had visited. And found a wife or brought their American wife and moved to those places like Costa Rica, Panama, Chile, Venezuela, Paraguay, Peru, Cambodia, Thailand, obviously Australia and New Zealand, and obviously Russia. We have Marines in Kazan, Russia, and it's interesting to know that. With these Marines spread around, they share information about other nations amongst themselves, and all of them, to the T, say the United States is a police state.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about that. Now, I wanted to ask you something, Drew, and I don't mean this is along the same lines. I'm interested in what the folks in these other countries who've been listening to our shows for some time now. What their take is. I know, you know, since I joined forces with you and have appeared on your show, Wind Talkers and Blog Talk have been broadcasting my show, and so we were reaching people around the world that we wouldn't have reached unless they happened to stumble across us on the internet, you know, going literally to the BBS site. So.
Well, and this is one of the unique things about being on Wind Talkers. You've got 178 radio stations around the world who pick the show up, record the show live, and it's if somebody doesn't, their recorder goes off or they don't get the whole show, they pick up their Skype and they Skype another show host. On another station, and they grab the rerun of my show or your show or whomever they're picking up,
mm-hmm.
and they slap that sucker up to and replay it, and they at the same time they have their own shows. All of these station owners have their own news show that they put out their version of the local news and what's going on in their countries. About what's going on, and then they highlight the stories that you and I put out and others from Blog Talk Radio or from BBS Radio or American Voice. They pick up these, and they don't play them every day. I mean, like, there's some shows that are on some of the networks out there, and they won't play. That show may be 5 days a week, but they'll only pick up 1 day a week because they like that guest
mm-hmm.
more than they like others.
Mm-hmm.
And,
more than they like the host.
they like the guest the host brings on because the host, like your show on Friday night, okay, it's one of the more popular shows that's picked up and played live, and then they make sure it's played back in a decent time because some of your shows are played, and when they're played, like it's 4 o'clock in the morning in their country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, when I say 4 o'clock in the morning, it's four, like today, it's Thursday here, but it's already after midnight in some places around the world in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
So they put it out. We've got a station that is owned by a Russian guy who was over in Kazan, Russia, and he met up with Lewis over there on a train that Lewis had taken over to. I forgot where it was at, but the Russian guy, you know, had, you know, picked up the idea. Well, you know, this is unique. I can pick up stations and off the internet, and they're coming in, and I don't have to worry about royalty fees, et cetera. And you know, all of a sudden, I'm being broadcast on the Pacific Rim by a Russian on a rerun in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I get some Russian emails from the area, and it just blows me away. Now, this guy picks up your Friday night show, and plays it on Sunday morning, his time, and has a great show. He just loves your Friday night show.
Well, that's Jim Murray, scientist, inventor Jim Murray, and he brings a lot to the table, as all my guests do in their own way. Even you, Drew, bring something to the table.
Well, let's go over and bring something to the table that's a little new, and understand that people out there need to know that our nation is really small, compared to what's going on in the world. And it's just, you know, it's one of those things that Americans have to understand. We're not the biggest country in the world. You can take the United States and put it in the Siberian area of Russia, and twice. And here we are in the United States, where the government is more and more becoming a police state, and right now the biggest example has been leaked out by Senator Jim DeMint day before yesterday, where the word is out, and nobody's talking about this, Don, that Barack Obama, this long-legged magnaddy, the usurper in Washington, D.C., has put together a plan to take in land out in the western part of the United States. And this land includes 58,000 acres in New Mexico, 58,000 acres in New Mexico, and 13.5 million acres is going to be enhanced by 65,000 acres that he's going to take in Nevada. Now, 80% of Nevada is already owned, and nobody can develop anything on 80% of Nevada, because that 80% of Nevada is owned by the federal government, and they will not let you travel on it. They won't let you fly a plane over it unless it's at 30,000 or 20,000 feet and above. And there are some exceptions, like a Piper Cub or something like that, but there's a corridor that these Piper Cubs and these low-altitude private planes can fly in. And they have to, if they get off course, they get visited by an F-16 or maybe an F-22 Raptor. People aren't talking about the 21-page draft that is going to take up property under the 1906 Antiquities Act. And this bothers me that Americans, in the last 40 years, Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter used that Antiquity Act. Jimmy Carter picked up 50 million acres in Alaska and locked it up, even though the state of Alaska screamed all the way to the United States Supreme Court. Well, they didn't go to the Supreme Court. They went all the way to Congress, and Congress wouldn't do anything about it. Bill Clinton used the authority of the Antiquities Act 22 times to prohibit hunting, recreational vehicles, mining, forestry, and even grazing on over 5.9 million acres scattered out all over the United States. And one of Billy Boy Clinton's little grand staircase out there in Utah, he absorbed 135,000 acres of land that was at one time leased for oil and gas exploration, and now it cannot be it cannot drill any more wells. They can't test for any more oil or gas. And it's like Bill Clinton put a stop to developing the nation's resources to protect this country. And that's a violation. That in and of itself is a violation because he's not protecting our country.
Now, where are these people getting the money to buy all this land? Are you saying privately? Like,
no, they just take it up under some antiquity act and take it away from the people in mass. I mean, we're not talking about fair and equitable purchase. Obama is possibly going to be doing the same thing with, on rich resources, taking in over 13.5 million acres to put into the Interior's real estate shopping list that he wants to take up. You know, like I said, 58,000 acres in New Mexico. How is he going to buy it? He's not going to buy it. He's going to go in there under the Eminent Domain Antiquities Act and just take it.
Yeah. Does that surprise you when you've seen my research on...
No, it doesn't surprise me at all when I look at your research, and this is why I'm bringing this out. It goes hand in glove with your research. And people out there, they look at your research, Don, and they don't understand the ramifications of all the vast research information that you put out. And what gets me is that there was this bill that came to vote yesterday, was voted down 58-38. They voted down, and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada was one of the leading voters against the amendment. And the government already owns 80% of Nevada, and the unemployment rate in Nevada is over 13%. Surely it would help job prospects if the land in Nevada was opened up for businesses such as miners that go out and look for gold or silver. And Nevada is a silver state, ladies and gentlemen. And there's a lot of silver out there in land that nobody can walk on. Nobody can get out and look for any gold or silver. And we've got this nationwide problem where the government owns over 650 million acres. That's 30% of the landmass of America. 30%. That's not what the founding fathers was envisioned 240 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was in the 1980s already. The Bureau of Land, or what does it say, the BLM, Bureau of Land and Mines had
Bureau of Land Management.
They had control of 37% of the Western lands at that time. And that was like 1985, around.
Well, we're talking about they own 47% of the Western lands, but 29% of the total landmass.
Yeah,
that includes Alaska.
Yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen, you could take Texas and put it in Alaska, and Texas and Alaska together make up a vast majority of the total process of land. And what is this really all about? This is keeping you, the American people, from creating jobs, all in the name of protecting some lizard or some dirt dauber or some coyote.
Yeah. You know, it's rather ironic. Every time somebody wants to build a casino, like they're trying, you know, they want to do this in Ohio. They want to make Ohio a casino state. And the people have repeatedly voted this down. But they always get the big money interests in there, the people that own the financing companies, that own the professional sports companies end up pulling the strings behind the scenes, kicking out enough money to make it appear that the people voted for this. There's never any legitimate election or any legitimate ballot issue where everyone is consulted about this. You mentioned Nevada has a 13% unemployment rate, and they've got more casinos than anybody else in the country. You see, and they always say, "Oh yeah, casinos are great. You're going to build, or it's going to create thousands of jobs for people." And they have all these casinos, and they've got such, and that's the reported amount, 13%.
Well, wait a minute. How about the foreclosures?
Yeah, it's likely 30% or higher. Like everywhere else in the country.
I mean, there are states out there that are in the red. Arkansas, Texas, North Dakota, South Dakota, Vermont are all states that are literally in the black when it comes to money. They don't have a problem at all. You've got the rest of the states out there that are all red or dying in debt. I also need to mention Alaska is also in the black, thanks to Sarah Palin's 3 years in office. And I'm not promoting Sarah Palin, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just giving you the common sense. If you look at her record when she took up on Alaska, she started kicking the federal government out of Alaska in many places. She was on the verge of taking back the 50 million acres that Jimmy Carter got on the Antiquities Act to show that that land was needed by the Eskimo Indian tribes and I can't pronounce their name, but for their hunting in the area, and they're not allowed to go out and harvest and hunt in the land that belonged to them before the Russians got there, before Russia sold it. Russia never had the authority to sell the land to the United States, even if they did sell it to the United States for $13 million.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the authority? Where is the authority of the United States government selling or purchasing the Louisiana Purchase from Napoleon? Napoleon never paid for it. France sold it to him, and he never paid France for it. Therefore, the deed that Napoleon signed to sell the Louisiana Purchase to Thomas Jefferson was fraud. Period. And where did the French get off on declaring the land up and down the Mississippi River and out to the west, and we commonly refer to it today as the Louisiana Purchase? Where did the French get the authority to steal that land from the American Indians who were here for hundreds of years, if not thousands of years, before? Where did they get the authority to sell it to Napoleon? Where did Spain get the authority to declare the ownership of Florida and sell it to the federal government of the United States? Or much less, where did they get the authority to take over Mexico and other points? The state of Texas is a sovereign country, and the Constitution of the United States specifically in the founders said that no country who has its own navy and its own army and its own constitution can relinquish that their sovereignty and join the United States, with the exception of the territories of Canada. The territories of Canada were the only exception. Texas is an illegal state in the Union, and they are a republic. And a contract has to be renewed every year.
Well, you know,
many of you out there don't know about that little contract that the state of Texas has to sign. The governor of the state of Texas signs every year with the United States Congress.
We have a similar situation in Ohio, although I don't think it's exactly like what's in Texas. But Ohio is not officially a state.
Correct.
You know,
and it's like, and also West Virginia. West Virginia was formed out of Virginia in 1863.
Mm-hmm.
with, and they had no authority. No authority. Abraham Lincoln and the Congress of Abraham Lincoln had no authority to send surveyors out and divide Virginia into two parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the acquiescence of public property and putting it into private hands. This is the method that they're using over and over again. Whether you're describing who's taking over these forest lands or the mountainous regions or the areas where there are dormant oil wells or mines that have been prohibited from operating because somebody's got the design to hoard all of this. You see. To take it out of the market, to increase the value of it, because it's not distributed, you see. Like what they're doing with the oil in Alaska, or the oil, the other oil finds that we have, or that they turned the Gulf of Mexico into a parking lot for oil barges so they don't have to pay taxes. You know,
wait a minute, it's not just in New Mexico, it's also up and down the channel bayous of Louisiana where hundreds.
No, I'm saying the Gulf of Mexico is what I said, not New Mexico.
I said in Louisiana.
Yeah, well, I understand.
In Louisiana, we've got hundreds of barges loaded with oil,
mm-hmm.
and because it's on a barge, it's in transit. And because it's in transit, Louisiana can't collect any tax on it, as Louisiana has a transportation tax of any oil that comes through the state of Louisiana, either in the oil pipelines or through trucks that travel over the road or through the refineries where they refine the oil and ship it off to the north in the northwest, no, northeast.
Mm-hmm.
People don't understand that. But when it's on the barge out there, it's still in transit, and there's no tax. A lot of states out there, Don, across America, Walmart specifically cheats every state out of thousands of dollars by taking product and putting it on 18-wheeler storage storage trailers that are basically ocean shipping boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And they park them at Walmart, and as long as the product is in those containers sitting there at Walmart, there's no inventory tax on those containers whatsoever because they're in transit. People don't understand that. It's the super elite have found ways to get around paying fair taxes that they owe and cheat the American people. It's just like the people that run Walmart. They don't pay. I mean, look at the billions of dollars that Walmart is worth, ladies and gentlemen. It will blow you away the amount of money that Walmart really handles and the fact that how much money they pay out in stock options and stock benefits, it blows you away. And the family, Sam Walton's children, they don't put a pencil to the paper. They just sit there and drink coffee and eat donuts at the board meeting that they have once a month. And they're knocking off $150 million each a year. And yet, people that work at Walmart are paid basic salaries and are not allowed to work 40 hours a week because if they work more than 38 hours a week, they have to have a health plan. And that's how you don't have to take my word for it. Go over and put your name in the hat at Walmart. Get an application. And tell them that you only want to work 40 hours a week, and they'll tell you, thank you very much, we don't need you. We only hire part-time people, and part-time people work 35 to 38 hours a week.
Now, they don't want to pay benefits or anything like that. That's the
no. And they come back with all of these people, the billionaire Bill Gates, people talk about Bill Gates being the richest American. The Walmart family was at one time owned and operated by Sam Walton. He had more money five times over Bill Gates has today. If you look at what he had at the time and put it in today's dollars. Our dollar is not worth 50 cents compared to what it was buying just a short 15 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. And we've got Bill Gates out there and the Waltons and other elitists telling us that, well, we've got to do something about the population, and therefore we can thin out the populations of the world through vaccinations. And yet that is the transgression directly against God's word. When God told us in Genesis 9:7, and ye be fruitful and multiply, teem in the earth and multiply in it. That's from my Waldensee Bible. Most of you read Bibles such as the American Standard or the American King James. In the American King James Bible says, and you be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And all of this rhymes together with Don Nikoloff's research and his papers, and many of you don't have eyes to see and ears to hear and the knowledge to understand everything that I just said in the last 10 minutes. It may sound like it's all over the place, but it's all married together. Isn't that right, Don?
Oh yeah, I agree with you. Of course, it is connected. That's the part that people are having trouble dealing with. They hear us talk about one particular topic one day, and we may bring out another topic another day, but it's all interwoven together. It's the same entities controlling everything and orchestrating everything that occurs. You know, they control the world through finances. They've devised a number of schemes through which they can create cash flow, and at every step of the way, if the plan doesn't feed itself automatically, then they put a tax on it to raise the cash. Okay, the way Wall Street has been run for the last 20, almost 30 years now is totally corrupt. The way the stock market has functioned, and probably has been corrupt from the get-go. But certainly the past 30 years, we're seeing signs of that. Certainly on 9/11, there was great corruption in the stock market. And I pointed that out on a number of shows when I revealed the findings of the paper trail of 9/11. We know about the put options that occurred. Very few people knew about the faked death of many people who were part of creating the financial schemes in the first place, which have morphed into electronic control of the internet and internet stocks. And it's the same people, same players. The politicians are involved in this and their cronies in the real estate industry. How can an industry that was riding so high on wealth and value, if it was for real, how could it fall so low? In other words, where does that value disappear? Does it disappear into the thin air from which the initial capital was made? You know, I'm speaking of Federal Reserve notes in the forms of billions and billions or even trillions of dollars of loans that nobody knew about, that gets assigned to us somehow, that it's our responsibility to pay for these things. Forget about the fact that it was all done corruptly or illegally or unlawfully. Forget about the fact that it still is being done that way. Forget about it that it's a coup to take over the country. Let the people pay for it. That's what all they deserve anyway. You see, Drew, it's getting to be too much, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's getting this assumption that we're all that stupid that we just allow this to continue. This is nothing but organized crime and Satanism, hand in hand.
And Americans have had enough. Just in 2009, just in the United States of America, the civilian population in America last year bought 14 million guns. That's over 14 million weapons that was placed into the hands of private citizens from the state of Maine to the state of Florida to Alaska, Hawaii, and all points in between back to the bayous of Louisiana. Over 14 million guns. Ladies and gentlemen, there's 300 million population in the United States. But that 14 million is brand new weapons. That is more than 21 of the world's standing armies. That's more than 21 other nations' standing armies. And that 14 million guns, ladies and gentlemen, equates to 824 billion rounds of ammunition. 824 billion rounds of ammunition that's in the American civilians' hands. The government of the United States, the oppressive police state, is scared to death of you people out there owning weapons and ammunition, and they're putting every stopgap preventing you from buying any more. California is in such a fear that now you cannot buy ammunition and have it shipped into the state of California. And if you go to a local store to buy some, it's worse than going to the pharmacy and signing your name to pick up some over-the-counter drug that you have to sign for. That's not a prescription. And the NICS background checks, we go back to January of 1999, and there were 591,000 firearm checks that were done. That's brand new checks, just in the month of January of 1999. But in 2009, a little over 14 months ago, there was 1,213,885 NISC background checks sent in to the FBI for people wanting to purchase a gun. And what does that equate to, ladies and gentlemen? These records are only available from 1999. That's when the NICS began keeping records pursuant to executive order by Bill Clinton, signed in November of 1998, or October of 1998, to begin in November of 1998. But in 1999, 9 million, for the entire year of 1999, there were only 9,138,123 checks. For the entire year, 9 million. In 2009, there have been over 14 million checks for this year. Two months. June and July were the only 2 months that did not eclipse a million NISC background checks being sent to the FBI. But the average is well over a million per month. And it increased. It increased for the month of December over 50%. And people in America are buying guns and ammo now because they now see the tyranny of this despotic government hell-bent on a despotic atmosphere and despotism that is we, the people, common people, have got to get together and vote these people out of office. There are people out there that constantly say, we got to vote them out of office, all of the incumbents. But D.B. Kidd hit the nail on the head. Are people really going to go out and vote them out of office? 20% of Americans are diehard conservative. 20% are so diehard Americans that they are the people that are over 17 years old and under 110 who research, understand the truth, and vote conservatively day in, day out, regardless of party affiliation, 20%. They're going to be conservative. 20% of Americans are going to be the far left, day in, day out, the whole ball of wax, voting to enslave us. That 20% are those in political office. Most of you do not know that over 18 year olds, and it shouldn't be 18, it should be over 21, but the men and women that work in public office in the United States, excluding the military, 20% of the population works in the government, and therefore they vote for just about everything any government office puts forth, regardless. That leaves 60% of Americans that can control and tell the government to go take a hike. But they didn't do that in Texas on Tuesday. They voted every one of the incumbents in their party to go forth to the next election step. Governor Perry led the way.
Do you think that was a straightforward election? Does that, knowing what you know, is going on in Texas?
No, sir, I do not. I know the political machine in Texas. I come from Louisiana in Texas. I was born in Louisiana, but my family on my mother's side was born mostly in Texas and Arkansas. My father, on my father's side, the Raines family, is mostly born in Louisiana, but there's several of them that were born in Arkansas because my great-grandfather, my grandfather was an oil man in the 1920s, and he traveled through the regions, Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, and Louisiana as a wildcatter. And my father was actually born in Mena, Arkansas. My uncle, his brother, who was killed in World War II, was born in Lufkin, Texas. His sister, Mildred, was born in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. And I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. This is what life was all about 100 years ago. Americans didn't stay put. They traveled. They migrated. They moved around. They went and found jobs in other places. Today, most Americans don't venture more than 100 miles from where they're born, unless they go off to some university or college, and then if they do, they won't venture more than 100 miles from that university or college. There are exceptions. We're talking about the majority. People don't travel. A woman will pick up and put her clothes in a bag and marry a man and move across America. A man will not. And that's a travesty that we have. Most men will not marry a woman and move to her locale, even though he met her in North Dakota or he met her in Kentucky and he's from Texas. He's going to drag her back to Texas. because this is the limelight we moved into, Don.
Yeah. So what you're saying is now what is there any human cry for a recount or any investigation of the actual election results or people in Texas just
there are some ballot stations. There's, as a matter of fact, according to DD Kidd, there are 8 ballot stations that are being contested, but that's not enough to overthrow any of the majors. Okay, it's just ballot contested in certain areas. It won't meet a hill of difference against the election of Perry, because Medina only got 20% of the voting public, and Perry got 80% of the voting public. Now, I personally feel that there's a problem with that. I feel that it was a lot closer, but I don't live in Texas now, but I remember my family in Texas talking about the Johnson machinery. And people, those of you that don't remember President Lyndon Baines Johnson, the Johnson family, Lady Bird Johnson's still alive. Her cousins are still alive. They still run Texas. It doesn't take rocket science to know who's running Texas from behind the scenes. It's like going over, like Toto running over to the curtain and pulling the curtain behind. And there stands Lady Bird Johnson in the buffo with the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Landrews, and the Longs, and those people behind the scenes with the Johnsons control the state. And there's a lot of other hidden names, people you don't know about. And it's not just Texas. It's every state in the union. This is why people are out there buying guns. In the Republic of China, there are only 2,250,000 men in the military. 2,255,000 in the military, and each one of those men own a rifle and a pistol. The American people have 14 million weapons in their possession. And I guarantee you, Don, I would guarantee you that over 25 million Americans own a gun in their house and the government doesn't know who they are. And these are stats out there, people. This is why no other country in the world, including the People's Republic of China, want to invade the United States. Russia only has 1,037,000 military men, and not all of them have guns. No member of the Russian Navy has a weapon, except the captain of the ship, the executive officer of the ship, and the military police on board ship. That's it. I was talking to a Russian who's retired from the Russian Navy, and he said on their largest Navy carrier that is based out of Vladivostok, Russia, there was a total of only 200 guns and 10,000 rounds of ammunition for the entire complement of 8,000 men. Now, that doesn't count the weapons that are used to defend the ship, the 50 calibers, but those suckers are mounted on the ship. They can't just take those suckers down and start carrying them down the street because they're 60 millimeters. So you have to stop and think about what's happening here with the takeover, and American people are fed up. What's happening, Don, is I foresee a 1789 revolution on American soil because the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and the Johnson and all of the other people that are behind the curtain, and Americans are waking up, if they, the American people, that 60% out there that really vote left and right and are swayed by the lies of radio and television, if that 60% doesn't get educated by the 20% of the conservatives, and who are those 20% of the conservatives? Those are the 20% that listen to our shows, Don, right here in the United States and around the world. Military men that are stationed around the world that are coming home. They come back here to take up a life and try to get their lives back in order. Those, that 60% has got to be wakened, and you, the listeners of Don Nikoloff's show, the listeners on BBS Radio, you've got to get involved. You've got to network. You've got to grab. I don't care if your neighbor says, oh, well, that's a bunch of hooey. Don't give up on your neighbor. 15 years ago, I barely got 20 people to come to a meeting to learn the truth. It mushroomed to 200 when it got to the constitutional efforts after the burning of Waco. And the Arkansas Regional Militia Corps united together with the United States Militia Corps, and we had over 400 men spread out in 63 counties in a localized militia units that got together, talked on the weekends, made sure everybody knew how to clean their weapons, made sure they had the right ammo, got the right kind of ammo, their ammo reloading equipment. And then when the Murrah building was blown up, the real purpose of blowing up the Murrah building in Oklahoma City was to destroy the United States Code, demand that the militias are legal. Militias are in the United States Code, ladies and gentlemen, and yet the Murrah building blow up. Men didn't desert. There wasn't anything to desert from. The militia is an unorganized civilians across America that have a right to keep and bear arms for the protection against domestic and foreign enemies. Right now, this week, the Bossier Parish Sheriff, in Louisiana. And those of you that don't know where Bossier Parish, Louisiana is, it's right by Shreveport, has instituted a training class for volunteers to join the Bossier Parish Militia with the sheriff's blessings to train them in the proper use of firearms and 50 caliber weapons. So, Don, what do you think? It's your show. We're running out of time, I know.
Yeah, we're about out of time. Well, we could go on and on and on with this, but you're touching upon, the essence of, you know, how we started this show. I'd asked the question, you know, what are they seeing around other parts of the world? How are they perceiving, listening to my show and listening to your show? Are they getting the message that we're in some sense on top of what's going on? We're not oblivious to what's happening here. And now the masses is a different story, but we're talking about those that listen to our shows. Of course, you're alluding a lot to the interest in what we have to say, because people are recognizing that they're hearing the truth. Am I right in saying that? That's how they're perceiving our shows.
Oops. That's why they listen. That's why they rebroadcast our show. That's why they listen to our show. They want to see if America is waking up. If there are people in America that's got the guts to tell the truth, because they get more truth in their newspapers overseas and want to know, why don't we know about this? Why aren't we questioning the atrocities of 9/11? Why aren't we investigating the atrocities of the Murrah building? Why aren't we investigating the murder of many of politicos out there that are supposedly committed suicide? like the DC madam out in California who said that she would never commit suicide. She was going to come forth and tell the truth about the pedophiles in government that would reach all the way into the White House, and within a week she was found hung in her house with a note saying that she couldn't take it anymore, and she hung herself.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, you know, this goes back even John DeCamp, former U.S. Congressman John DeCamp, and the Franklin cover-up. He exposed that. He's been exposing that very recently, even still, that investigation is still ongoing. And it's the same information. So it doesn't matter if it comes from a former U.S. congressman and a Vietnam veteran, by the way, or if it comes from a D.C. madam. It's the same thing. And you've got the same players involved. These heads of all these congressional committees are involved in it. And we can use the name Barney Frank. We've been talking about him quite a bit lately and his involvement in the sex for slave or the sex slave industry, we'll call it.
And the pedophile industry. And here's another one. How about Charles Rangel, who's in charge of setting forth the taxes for every American out there, and yet Charles Rangel did not pay his own taxes for 3 years, did not hid properties on taxes, and yet he wants to remain in charge of that committee.
Mm-hmm.
The criminals, ladies and gentlemen, are looking over the criminals. This is as bad as everybody running into the cave because the sky is falling, and then the wolf comes over with his blade and his fork, walks into the cave, shuts the door and locks it, and then devours everybody.
Yeah.
Walt Disney did a film on that in 1945. It's been outlawed, but I have a copy of it, Don.
Well, it's organized crime. It's racketeering. I mean,
exactly.
They created laws to stop this, but they're doing exactly what the laws they created are supposed to stop and enforce. It's amazing.
And, you know, I know we're running out of time.
We are out of time.
And I really appreciate you inviting me to the show. And, ladies and gentlemen, this is how Don and I get. We can't even talk to each other during the week because we end up taking 2 or 3 hours out of our life. And we know we got to do a radio show on my show on Monday, Don Nikoloff, AMD, Alpha Michael Delta dot EL, that's Echo Lima Equity, AMD.ELEquity.com, Mondays, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. New Orleans time, every Monday. You go to my website, all you got to do is click on the Monday, and you got the show. Thank you, Don. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Drew. As usual, it was very informative and interesting and inspirational. And, of course, we want people, if they want to sign up for your news and views, they can go visit you at your website.
Or send me an email, Drew Raines, D-R-E-W, Raines, R-A-I-N-E-S, at yahoo.com. Or send it to your local station that's rebroadcasting this show, and the broadcaster at Wind Talkers will send me your email along, and I'll get you on the list. Right now, we're sending out 25,000 every morning.
Yeah, that's a lot. And those go all over the world, too. Okay, Drew. Well, we're out of time. Thanks for being on the show. I look forward to your next visit and my next visit on your show this coming Monday. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. And tonight's special guest, former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'd like to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound at BBS Radio, also Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when our special guest will be none other than this favorite scientist-inventor, Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.